Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to another Arscast on arsblog.com. No, arsblog.olay.com. Brought to you in association with olay.com. Who is it brought to us in association with now? If now arsblog is arsblog.olay.com, who are we going to bring the arsblog in association with? Beer. I think that works. I think it does. In association with delicious, cold, frosty, foamy beer. Because that's what's in my bottle right now. Yeah, and that's it. So it's another Arscast. What's coming up on this Arscast, you might want to know. And that's a very good question. Well, basically, a lot of you people are coming up on it. I asked you on yesterday's blog to phone in and leave some voicemails, and a number of you did that, so thank you very much. We'll get your highs and lows from the season just past. As well as that, the man in the bar will have a player history. We've got a tale of the unexpected. Eboué is here, and that's about it. Yeah. No special guest this week, but over the summer months, hopefully we'll get some bits and pieces organized, because it's all going to be very, very quiet, of course, and trying to put Arscast together in the summer is a bit of a challenge, but hopefully we can get some things together. I've got a plan. I can't tell you what it is yet. In fact, I'm not even sure I should be saying this out loud. I'm not sure this plan is... I haven't planned this plan. I just kind of have a vague idea in my head. So... Yeah, I've kind of set the bar a bit there, haven't I? Anyway, there might be some good stuff coming up this summer on the Arscast. I just can't tell. So the season is over. Done and dusted. Finito. It was a 1-0 win over Sunderland on Sunday that got us to 83 points for the season, which is a very good total indeed. Whatever way you want to look at it, however disappointing things are, it was a very good total. Well, I didn't see much of it, only the goal on the web. Of course, everywhere was showing Manchester United and or Chelsea. I met the man from East Lower in a bar in Dublin. He was over here for the weekend, so we had a couple of beers and watched whatever football was available to us. Sadly, it was only the Manchester United game, and it was quite sickening, I have to say. Ireland, as you well know, is a country populated by many, many Manchester United fans. Sadly, St. Patrick, being the stupid cunt that he is, only got rid of the snakes and not the Manchester United fans. So we watched and we were aghast when Wigan weren't awarded a penalty. And even more aghast when Paul Scholes was not sent off and then resigned to the sheer cuntingness of this season, when they got a penalty themselves and Cristiano Ronaldo scored it, then Ryan Giggs scored, and then Chelsea. I mean, you're sitting there the whole time going, oh, I fucking hate United. I really hope they lose this game. And then you're thinking, well, if they lose, Chelsea win. What sort of a choice is that for a man to have to make? So it was all pretty fucking horrible, I have to say. When they won, as the man from East Lower pointed out on his blog, this guy in front of us started dancing. If you can think of Ricky Gervais from The Office, crossed with, how will I put it, maybe Milli Vanilli if they were stuck up Britney Spears' gi. That's the only way I can describe his dancing. It was truly, truly awful. And he was shouting into his phone and sickening. The only thing that made it good was the fact that it was a nice day in Dublin. And when the football was over, we were able to stand outside and drink beer. Although I didn't drink too much beer because I had to go and play football. And my already limited football skills are somewhat impacted by being drunk when playing football. I've learned that the hard way. So while the United fans were celebrating, we were left to consider what might have been, or what probably should have been. With a 5-point lead at one stage, we let it slip. The run of form after the Birmingham game killed us, in my opinion. I think we lost the title because of those games, not because of the games against Manchester United or Chelsea, but that's football, unfortunately. That is football, and hopefully we'll learn from this and come back stronger. And I don't want to keep going over and over it because it's just painful. It's done now, consigned to history. Let's move on. Like S Club 7, don't stop moving. We'll just keep on keeping on. But to go back and talk a little bit about it, not me, you, I asked you for your highs and lows from last season. Here's a section of them. Here's part one.
The best moment of the season was when Paddy Bauer scored the goal after a magnificent run by Keir Walcott in the quarterfinal of the European Cup. The worst was when Liverpool got that dodgy penalty a few months later.
The best moment of last year has to be the away game at Tottenham in that second half, where Fabregas obviously scored that screamer, and then Adebayor just pulled off one of the goals of the season. That incredible goal to not only beat the dirty scum away, but also send us top of the league. The worst moment, unfortunately, has to be the Champions League game against Liverpool, where so late in the game we should have won it, and then it all just went to tits just mere seconds afterwards, and that was very, very hard to swallow.
Hello, Arseblog. I think you're fantastic. My best moment was against them scabby Manx when Ronaldo was sprawling about in front of... I'll have to call you back.
My favourite part of the season was the brilliant bit of commentary when Cesc Fabregas scores against Tottenham at White Hart Lane.
Fabregas joins it. Working shot. Surely!
Hey, this is Indie Dave. The highlight for the season for me was when I went to the trolley and someone recognised me and said, "Hey, there's Indie Dave." The low point was about the second minute of the Birmingham game away. Last time I did this one, I got it exactly right, so hopefully next year we're going to win the league. Come on, you Arsenal. Good night.
Hi, this is Damon Holmes from Tasmania, Australia. The best moment of the year was when Fabregas scored against AC Milan, and the worst moment is when Almunia became number one. Cheers, mate.
Yo, Lynn, now you better listen up, and you better listen up quick, man. My favourite Arsenal moment this season was when Theo Walcott scored that amazing run against Liverpool. My worst moment also was when Toure brought down that idiot Babel, and we conceded a goal in the last 5 minutes of the game, from the highest to the low in 1 minute. That, my friend, is football. And let me tell you another thing, asshole. Arsenal can do it next season. Come on, Arsenal. Come on.
Hello, Arseblogger. The best moment of last season was Theo Walcott's goal against Liverpool. The worst moment of the season was the penalty awarded after Theo Walcott's goal against Liverpool. Cheers, mate. Kevin, Darford. Bye.
This is Gunnar Mike. The best moment from last season was when we beat United, when William Gallas headed in at the last minute. Great feeling. And the ground erupted. Tremendous.
Hi, it's Bruce from Brisbane. I'd just like to say thank you very much, Blogs, for all your work during the year. The best thing that happened was that old cunt that came on the arses. What was his name? Can't remember now. Gooner, I don't know, whatever he was. Get the old cunt on again, he's great. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you all for your contributions. There will be another two rounds of what you think are the highs and lows of this season. And there's some crackers in that group, and there's some crackers still to come, seriously. Some of you people are quite mad. Brilliantly, fantastically mad. I love it. So obviously, we did the whole changeover thing this week. It happened on Monday, and I think everything pretty much went okay. There are still a few little creases to be ironed out, but these things are normal. I just want to say thanks to everybody for all the support, and of course all the feedback that you gave during the week, which helped us solve those problems, etc., etc. If there are things that aren't working, if you do find stuff, because it's a big site, remember, and there are bits that we haven't looked at probably yet, so if you do find anything that doesn't work, you can just email them to me. It is blogger@arseblog.com. that email address will still work, blogger@arseblog.com. always happy to hear from you. Now the man in the bar, he's got a player history.
Hello there, and Welcome to another old player history on the Arsecast. Had a bit of a run-in with that arse blog fella there in the week. I rang him up right and I said, "Yeah, you know the way you're after becoming all rich and famous and stuff now that you've done this new deal?" And he went, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, you know the way you only ever buy me just like the odd pint to make me waffle about Arsenal?" And he went, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, I think I deserve a theme tune." And he went, "Would you get the fuck out of that, you old bastard? What do you think I am, John Williams?" And I said, "No, come on, it'd be fair enough now. The man in the bar has been going for ages. I need a theme tune. Music with which people can associate with me." And he said, "Well, what do you have in mind?" And I said, "Well, I was thinking a reworked version of the Alan Parsons Project, Eye in the Sky. So it would go something a little like, 'I am the man in the bar. I can do a poo.' You see? So he's promised to have something in place by next week. I think it's only right and proper that a man of my standing should have a theme tune. There's not many opportunities in life to get your own theme tune, and if you don't stand up for yourself, well then nobody else will. Nobody's just going to come up to you and say, you know, as you're walking down the street, 'Would you like a theme tune, would you?' I mean, it just doesn't happen these days. In the old days it would, now you'd have fellas going around with mandolins and violins and stuff, selling theme tunes because, you know, they needed to crack cocaine or something. Anyway, this week's player history is about an Islington boy made good, got into the first team at Arsenal. His name was Mead, Raphael Mead. Made his debut for Arsenal in 1981 against Manchester City, and he scored about 14 league goals in his whole time at the club, up to about 1985. Then we got better players in and he sort of left. But off he went to Portugal. Seriously, he played for Sporting Lisbon, where he scored 25 goals in 3 seasons. Then he had spells at Dundee United, Luton Town, Ipswich Town, Plymouth Argyle, Brighton, Brighton again, and then Crawley Town, before he retired because he just got too old to play football anymore. After retiring, he found himself at rather a loose end and found himself drifting from one part-time job to another until the fateful day when, along with his friends Leonardo, Donatello and Michelangelo, he became one quarter of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Go, Raphael! You Arsenal hero in a half shell. It's true.
More from the man in the bar, and probably another player history on next week's Arsecast, but a theme tune. Serious, a theme tune. I think he's getting ideas a little above his station, you know. Perhaps he needs to be brought crashing down to earth. But if you had to make a theme tune for the man in the bar, what would it be? What are your suggestions? Email them if you like, arsecast@arsblog.com. Still to come, a tale of the unexpected. Aboué's in there as well. But now, part two of your highs and lows of the season just gone.
Hello, blogger. I've got to say that my best moment from last season has got to be Theo's run at Anfield. What a run and what a goal. I ran half the length of a pub, almost died by the end of it. By the time I got back to where I originally was, the penalty was going in. So there you go. And that is my worst moment, because it seemed that we kind of like crumbled a little bit after that. And although mathematically we're still in it, and with a result against United, we could have still won it. Although we tried, we didn't seem to have, you know, the energy for it, which is understandable. Anyway, those are my best and worst moments. See ya.
Hi, this is the last real DJ alive from London. My favourite moment of the season was Avram Grant's reaction to going 2-1 up against us, the Arsenal, at Stamford Bridge. Now, you might think that's a very strange moment to rank highly in the season, but it definitely softened the blow a lot. Before that, I was thinking that Avram Grant maybe actually had a bit of quality. But judging by his reaction, which looked like someone, like an old man having a seizure on the touchline, it does go to show that, you know, you can just inherit a shitload of good players and still be a worthless, fat, ugly, pus-filled cunt. Thanks.
Right. Thanks, Ask Blogger. The best and the worst moments from this season. Fuck, where to start? Best, probably Adebayor. You can't go further.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort with, thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/arsblog.
That man, I know we've had a lot of criticism for him and by him and to him, and he's a fucking top player, isn't he, at the end of the day. As was the editing of his words and what he said after the games on the Arse blog. So we loved a bit of that. Worst moment of the season, probably the Champions League final. Two cunting teams who I personally hope every member of each team fucking dies. And that's about the end of it. I won't be watching on Wednesday. I'm sure everyone will be talking about it for about 3.5 years later. First All English final, blah, 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 blah. Who gives a flying fuck? Man United, Chelsea, hate the fucking pair of them. Who do I want to win? Couldn't give a fuck. I hope the earth opens up and swallows the entire of Moscow. And, I don't know, 100,000 cunts less. Anyway, thanks very much. Keep up the good work.
Hello, blogger. Best moment was undoubtedly the Adebayor song, Brand New, echoing around Craven Cottage for at least an hour. Worst moment was the 8-hour drive home from Middlesbrough. Just think, beating those bastards home and away, and we would be champions. And as for not editing, thought this is your job now, so do some work.
So I'm in Finnitz in Stephen's Green in Dublin, and I'm watching Arsenal and Man United. And, you know, the story was in the Emirates. We had this prick beside us for the whole game, Man United prick, usual, probably from the south side, car keys on the counter, the whole shebang, the flash gear, the Armani, the whole shebang, giving it loads the whole game, sitting annoying the fuck out of us for the whole match. So, you know what happens? They went 2-1 up, and then William Gallas scored to make it 2-2, as far as I can remember. I don't remember much. All I do know is that I was drinking Guinness, and as soon as that ball went over the line, there was a bit of a delay, and then the goal was given. My pint of Guinness went all over him because the pub erupted. He looked around. But destroyed his clothes. He looked around to see who it was, and he had a fair idea it was me, but he'd no notion because the pub was mental. So, as well as getting a point from the game, I was destroyed the fucker. Good luck.
Hello, Osblog. This is Joe from Barcelona. Best moment, without a doubt, the goal celebration following the Sexto Fabregas win at Milan. Just showed how good team spirit is there. Worst moment, without a doubt, was the penalty at Liverpool. Awful. Awful. Bye.
It does seem as if the Liverpool game and the penalty given just after we'd scored really is, for most people, the most disappointing moment of the season. What's really interesting is the amount of people who referred to the goal that we scored previously as Theo Walcott's goal. Even though it was Adebayor that scored it, it's Theo Walcott's goal. that they refer to. Obviously, the run was a huge part of it, but it was Adi Bajor that put the ball in the net at the end of the day. But it is, I suppose, and will be, Theo Walcott's goal. Also interesting was William Gallas's goal being referred to as a winner, even though it just made the score 2-2. I suppose late equalisers like that really do feel like winning goals. And maybe when you think back on it, you think, oh, I couldn't have gone that mental just for a draw. It must have been a winning goal. So funny the way the mind works, isn't it? One more batch of your thoughts on the season just gone, the highs and the lows still to come before the end of this podcast. Now, though, a tale of the unexpected.
Welcome to Tales of the Unexpected on the Ozblog Ozcast.
Hello. My name is George, and I've got another tale of the unexpected for you. This week I was in North London. I was trying to sell some organs. But before all the musicians among you get too excited, it wasn't a Hammond or even a Bontempi. It was two livers, a kidney, and a heart. If you know anybody that's looking for an organ, give us a shout. The thing is, right, I got a bit lost, and I had to ask someone for directions, but the only fella around was a fella wearing a Spurs shirt. And I went up to him, and I asked him for directions, and the thing was, he wasn't a drooling, knuckle-dragging, cave-dwelling, grunting, cunt-smelling of shite and homemade abortions. That was unexpected to me.
Another tale of the unexpected on next week's Arsecast. Now, of course, it is silly season. It is well and truly upon us now. That is when agents go crazy mental and they start leaking stories hither and thither and to newspapers all over, talking about how their player is linked with this club and this player wants to go there and this player wants to go here, etc., etc. We've seen it. We know it. We saw this week this story with Adi Bajor and I'd love to play for Barcelona, and I read what was in El Mundo. And if you didn't know that El Mundo were a big load of shit-stirring fucking Spanish cunts, you'd be really worried about this. I suspect what they did was they asked Adi Bajor, like, you know, would you one day in your life, you know, if you never were going to play for Arsenal again, you know, would you like to play for Barcelona? And he went, yeah, well, sure, of course. Nobody would say no to Barcelona. It's a great club, blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, they changed the question when they put the article in. Naive, shall we say, of Adi Bajor to talk to them like that. Of course, he came out with the stories about how he loves Arsenal and he's going to be at Arsenal next season, etc., etc. But you should know that when you talk to the Spanish press, they have an agenda. The agenda is either Real Madrid or Barcelona. So far this week, we have been linked with all kinds of players. Mauro Zarate, an Argentinian, on loan to Birmingham from some club in Qatar. 20 million euros? 20 million pounds, indeed. Get fucked. Obafemi Martins, he's in there as well. Yaya Toure has been talking about how he'd love to play in the same team as Kolo, making many people's ears prick up there because the Toure brothers could be something to behold in an Arsenal team. As well as that, there's the Hatem Ben Affleck signing. That's still going around. Gervinho. And, you know, I think between now and August, we're going to be linked with, I'd say, at least 100 players. At least 100 players. And of course, we might just sign two or three, which tells you pretty much everything you need to know about football transfers. That's about all I have to say on silly season. There's still loads of it to come, so we'll have the whole summer on the Arsecast to talk about the transfer rumours of the week. Now, more of your highs and lows from the season just past.
The best moment of the season? That just has to be the Ass Blog Five-a-Sides. Anticipation had been a fever pitch in the build-up to this tournament. There were rumours that even Ass Blogger himself might play, but these have been on and off since the turn of the year. Then the day came. I remember it well. It was an overcast and blustery March morning. We had to wait a whole two games before the great man led his green army out onto the pitch, but we had seen a tantalising glimpse of his captainly ways through the wire fencing as he briefed his team thoroughly before the game. Suitably prepared, his lads kicked off and sprang into action like gazelles released into the wild. The ball broke loose. Breath was debated all around the arena as the crowd anticipated Arseblogger's first touch. Would he trap it nonchalantly and have time to look up before caressing a defence-splitting ball forwards? Would he simply pirouette around the ball, confusing the attackers and waltz off in the other direction on a mazy run? Would we even see him flick it up onto his own neck and watch him carry the ball to a shooting position before raising his head and setting up a ridiculous volley? We could see a gleam in his eye as he stepped up and blundered into the penalty box, conceding a penalty. Never mind. Still the first minute of the game, and a one-goal deficit means nothing at that stage. And we had still yet to see the great man touch the ball. Sure enough, with one on the clock, the ball broke loose to your man, just inside the opponent's half. He controlled the ball. He looked up, saw space, ran into it. He shaped quite beautifully to shoot, and he unleashed a shot of such venom and ferocity that it travelled straight out of the arena, high, wide and right. And I'm still looking for that ball now. It's true.
Yes, Jay, this moment, without a shadow of a doubt in my mind, Fabregas sits in the back of the net, out in the land. Cue fucking stranger hugging, feet smashing, fucking absolute pandemonium. And for me, the worst being stuck in that Anfield Road end and just realising that fucking the ref had pointed to the spot fucking just up out of by all got us. Fucking, what a cunt. What a cunt. Complete utter cunt.
Hello, Arseblog. This is Joe from Barcelona. Best moment, without a doubt, the goal celebration following the sixth Fabregas win at Milan. Just showed how good team spirit is there. Worst moment, without a doubt, was the penalty at Liverpool. Awful. Awful. Bye.
This is Ebue. Ebue have three favourite Arscast contributors. Number one favorite contributor, Amy Lawrence. Much sweetness. Ebue love Amy. Number two favorite contributor, man from East Lower. He sound like him drink lots of Guinness. Number three favorite contributor, Gunaholic. What an old cunt. Him make a boy writhe in agony. You go now.
How dare that fake Ebue. Wait, he's not even a fake Ebue. He's a fake Ebue. How dare he call Gunnar Holick a cunt. Absolutely scandalous. Quite true, though. But scandalous nonetheless. And speaking of Ebue...
Now it's time to be at home with Emmanuel Ebue. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to my home. I am Ebue. Ebue like Enid Blyton. Top three Ebue Enid Blyton. Number one, Peter from Secret Seven. He's so dreamy. Number two, Noddy is a boy toy, but not a toy boy. Number three, Ebue Enid Blyton, Timmy the dog. Oh, Ebue plow that good. Ruff, ruff, ruff. You go now.
Tune in next week for more At Home with Ebue. Oh, baby.
Enid Blyton. Enid Blyton. Yeah. Now, normally this is the part of the Arsecast where we discuss the game coming up at the weekend, which particular brand of cunt it is we're playing, and who we've got available to play them. Who is Rosicky'd, who is Van Persie'd, and who is actually fit and able to take the field. Sadly, that's not the case this weekend because there's no football. There's no football. So this is the part of the Arsecast where I say, that's it. There's no more Arsecast. There's nothing else to talk about. Until the next Arsecast, you have yourselves a very, very good weekend. And I'll talk to you all next week on the blog. And of course, next Friday for the Arsecast. Take it easy now. Bye-bye.
Hello, my name is George, and the best thing about this season was the night I came home to my house and I found a Man United burglar passed out drunk after drinking all of me Gentleman Jack. There he was, unconscious on the living room floor. So I beat him to death and stole his wallet and I pissed in the mouth of his corpse. That was the best thing. The worst thing was when I woke up the next morning and I realised that was me son. That wasn't so good.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.